Good morning, church. Good morning, family of God. Wonderful to see all of your faces here today. Let's stand, shall we? We're going to lift up our voices and sing praise to the chief shepherd of our souls today. How many are ready to praise him? Say amen if you're ready to praise him this morning.
Amen.
All right, come on. Let's lift up our voices.
Come to the well that never runs dry, and drink of the water, come and thirst no more. And come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy, and taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. God is for us. stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is a healer, awesome in power. Our God,
yes, you are. Our God is greater, and our God is stronger.
God, you are higher than any other.
Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, you never change, you never change.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you greet one another before you're seated this morning? Say hello to somebody around you. Introduce yourself to someone you haven't met before. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you today. Welcome to Evangel. We're glad that you're here, and we know there's a lot of places you could be. We're not going to tell you what those are, put any ideas in your head, but we're glad that you're here. You've chosen to worship with us this morning. Thank you for joining us here in person. Welcome those of you who are joining us via live stream today. We're glad you're here as well, and we've come to experience and be changed by the presence and power of God in this place today and to leave different than we came. And we want to welcome all of you, especially if you're here today and you've not been here before. We want to extend a special welcome to you, tell you that we're glad that you're here, to say that we want to be able to be here to serve if we can in any way and to come alongside you. And we ask that if you could fill out a connection card that you'll find in the chair pocket in front of you, and you can leave that at the information desk in the foyer as you're leaving, and indicate on there if you'd like us to follow up with you. And if we can serve you in any way, please indicate that. There's a small gift there for you, and we want to be able to give that to you as well. Thank you for being here. And I'll just talk about the kids ministry in a couple of moments, but just a couple of announcements. First of all, just a thank you. I know back in, I believe it was June, we did a campaign as part of our church. We committed to Kerr Market as part of the Kerr Street Mission to adopt a shelf. And what that means is that Evangel would provide the 350 cans of a particular product. And for us, it was tomato-based products. One for 1 week per year to serve the clients that are coming there. And I just want to thank you. Just got a couple pictures back from them, and you'll notice on there it says this shelf was generously donated by Evangel. And so I just wanted to thank you. They were very excited. In fact, you donated over 800 pounds of food. So that's greatly appreciated. So thank you for being a part of that. Also, just wanted to let you know that over the last little while, it's been a little concerning for us in terms of the fact that a lot of our building actually is not accessible for people who may be in a wheelchair or have trouble with stairs or issues walking or with a walker and so on. And sometimes during funeral receptions and so on, people are not able to get up to the hall to participate in those times. And so the number one solution to that would be to install a lift/elevator just through these doors, but to do that would be about $200,000. So it's a pretty significant project. So we've been brainstorming some ways that we can delay that type of expenditure and still make room to include people and make them a part of things. And so we've come up with what we think is a good and creative plan. And so just giving you a heads up that when you come in next week, the configuration in here will be a little bit different as we're making some room. There's a lot more chairs in here than we need. And we are just going to configure a little differently to make some room so that we're able to do services and socials all on this level that's completely accessible as to buy us the time that we need before we can take on a bigger project. So that's just a heads up to when you come in next week and you think, oh, what's going on? Well, that's what's going on. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings momentarily. You can give in the plate, and you can also give electronically if you choose. And if you would like to do that, you can send an e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. And you can do that. I'm going to invite kids. Now, if you're here today and you have children that are newborn up to age 3, there is a nursery through these doors and down at the bottom of the stairs. And there's someone there now waiting to take your kids and to take care of them. So if you have children in that age group, you can take them there at any time during the service. And if you have children that are age 4 up to grade 5, then they're going to go out with their volunteers at this time, and they can just come around the side here and up over here, and the volunteers will be waiting for them there, and they'll head downstairs and just pick them up at the end of the service when the service is over. So that's it. God bless you as you continue to worship this morning.
Yeah. Gethsemane, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. For you have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
One more time.
You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful,
what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Again,
what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
What a powerful name. Love your name, Jesus. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name. For your name is great and greatly to be praise. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. And oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Come on, just your voice, sing.
And I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing glory.
Praise.
praises to your name.
Adore you this morning, Lord. Come on, why don't you just love on him this morning? Lift up your voice to the throne room of heaven. Deep cries unto deep. Lift up your worship to him. Your own song, your own melody. Sing that simple love song to Jesus this morning. We love your name. We love your name. There's no other name. There is no other name. There is none that is higher. Continue, lift up your voice to him this morning. Lift up our melodies, lift up our harmonies to the Lord, the shepherd of our souls. Bless your name, bless your name. Bless your name. There is none like you, no one else can touch my heart like you do, and I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Come on, just your voice to the Lord. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none. We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We fall down all together. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet, oh, of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
is the Lamb of God. Yes, the Lamb, sing a word. Never changing, seated high above. Yes, Jesus, Lamb of God. Sing, we fall, and we fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet. Greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
One more time. We fall down. Everything.
We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
Sing holy,
we cry holy, holy, holy. We cry holy, holy, holy. We cry. Is
teach you a new song this morning, Psalm 23. And how many know that the Lord is the chief shepherd of our souls? He's the one who provides for us, the one who protects us. But let's just lift up this song and jump in when you're ready this morning.
The Lord is my shepherd, and he goes before me. Defender behind me, and I won't fear.
Filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm.
all sing that together. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. And he goes before me.
Thank you, Lord.
Defender behind me.
Yes, you are.
And I won't fear.
No, no.
I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. My victory, my victory. Your spirit is within me. He's my comfort. He always holds me close. Sing again and hallelujah. He's my comfort, always holds me close.
Lord, we thank you this morning that you are closer than we think. You are the chief shepherd who looks out for us, who comes to the rescue, who comes to provide and to protect. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, this morning.
Our scripture reading today is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. When our first two children were really little, we got into camping. Now I believe camping should always come with a key card. But we got into camping. It started with a tent, but soon led to purchasing a used pop-up trailer. And we made some great memories in that little trailer. I grew up in central Newfoundland, and we were living in St. John's, which is on the eastern side of the province, and we had never explored the west coast of the province before. Now, some would argue that the west coast is the best coast. I don't know. I'm just saying. On one particular vacation, we made our way to Gros Morne National Park. In case you're wondering, yes, I get royalties as I paint a picture of Newfoundland and make you want to visit. I will receive royalties for any of those trips that are planned. We made our way to Gros Morne National Park, and on this particular, it was night, it was really dark. The kids were tucked away in bed, and we were sitting at the picnic table outside the trailer. And suddenly, we experienced more stars than we had ever seen ever before at one time. The sky was full. This is actually a picture taken in Gros Morne Park behind me. See, some of you want to sign up already. Maybe we'll do like a group trip. Yeah. And so we were so impressed and so enthralled with this incredible beauty, this experience that we never had, that we actually went inside the trailer and we woke the kids up and we dragged them out and they were all kind of sleeping. But you know what? Because this is a special moment and you gotta experience this moment with us. And so we pulled them out there. Now, astronomers will tell you that you can actually see a full galaxy on a clear night from there, because of the lack of light pollution and urban sprawl that usually keeps you from seeing such incredible beauty. Today, we are continuing. There's a point to that. I'll get to it shortly. We are continuing our summer sermon series entitled Summer in the Psalms, where each week we'll consider the central theme of a psalm, and today we're focusing on Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is one of the most familiar and one of the most well-loved psalms, no question. Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. And unlike most of the other psalms, It's not a lament. It's not a prayer. It doesn't ask for anything. It doesn't question anything. It is purely a proclamation. It is purely a declaration of God's goodness and God's presence as he guides his people through this life. It was written in a moment of clear reflection. When all of the pollution and all of the distraction of the circumstances of life were stripped away, and David could vividly see and reflect on the beauty of who God is in his life and in the lives of his people. A beautiful, clear image, unobstructed by anything. As we explore this psalm, we'll be reminded today that moments of reflection bring comfort because we can clearly see the goodness and presence of God in our lives. Now, David uses actually two metaphors here. We often kind of think of this as a shepherd metaphor, but he actually uses two. In the first four verses is the metaphor of a good shepherd, and verse 5 is the metaphor of a banquet host or a good host. And then he ends in verse 6 with a summary sentence of an incredible declaration about the future. So we're going to begin with "The Lord is my shepherd." David begins with that very declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, you may have noticed that shepherding terminology is found throughout Scripture to demonstrate leadership, guidance, care, nurturing, responsibility for a group of people. David was once a shepherd of sheep, but now he's a king. He's a shepherd of people. He's the shepherd of Israel. And as the shepherd of Israel, as the king, he acknowledges that God is the true, ultimate shepherd of his people. The Jewish proper name for God is Yahweh. And to protect the holiness of God, Jews avoided speaking that name. They wouldn't say it. And in fact, when they would write it, they would either refuse to write it, or if they did, they would leave certain parts out of respect for the holiness of God. And so often, instead of using Yahweh, they will substitute it for another word because they just didn't want to violate in any way his holiness. And so a name that they would often substitute would be Adonai, and that's what's substituted in here, which is translated, "My Lord, my Lord." And so David begins by declaring that "my Lord, Adonai, Yahweh, is my shepherd." Yahweh is not just the shepherd. He's not just the nation's shepherd. But David said, "He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd." David makes it personal as he's speaking from the perspective of a sheep under the shepherd's care. And because the Lord is his shepherd, he says, he lacks nothing. He lacks nothing. Now, he doesn't mean that he has everything there is to have. I mean, really, if you had everything there is to have, where would you put it? I mean, that's a problem, right? He doesn't mean he has everything that there is to have, and he doesn't mean that he has everything that he wants. That's not what this means. He's declaring that God is his provider, that God provides for him what he needs, what he needs. He then goes on to elaborate some specific details of what the good shepherd provides, staying within this sheep metaphor. Michael, I don't think this is working. Oh, it did. The first is, the good shepherd makes him lie down in green pastures. What's really incredible sometimes is read this psalm alongside Mark's telling of the story of Jesus feeding the thousands on the hillside, and you'll see incredible connections to the two, but that's just for free, and we're not going to do that this morning. But the good shepherd, he says, makes him lie down in green pastures. Because of limited pasture land, I mean, Israel is not just, you know, filled with tons and tons of wonderful pasture land. You know, and because sheep by nature can completely destroy a pasture by overeating it and destroying even the root system, that, you know, oftentimes they eat everything there is there to eat. And it isn't often that you would see beautiful green pasture land. But the shepherd constantly moves his herd from pasture area to pasture area. And the idea here is that there would be so much green pasture, so much beautiful green pasture land, that a flock could be satisfied and stay there for an extended period of time, which was really, really rare. And he says, you know what? The good shepherd makes me lie down, not in overeaten pastures or brown pastures or dried up pastures. No, he makes me lie down in lush green pastures. Even this whole idea of lying down is an expression of the fullness of God's provision for his sheep. Sheep rarely feel secure enough to lay down. They rarely feel secure enough to do that. But with the good shepherd, they feel safe. And they can lay down without fear and without anxiety. What we're seeing David paint here is an incredible image of peace and trust. Secondly, we see that the good shepherd leads beside still waters. Sheep need food, but they also need water. Still waters are quiet waters. They're not stagnant water, but in comparison to quick-moving streams or rivers, which could sweep a sheep away, the good shepherd provides refreshing without being rushed or fearful. The good shepherd refreshes and restores the soul. The word soul here is not only referring to the spiritual dimension of a person, the part that doesn't die, but its meaning here is actually the whole person. The word soul here means the whole person, every part. The spirit, what he's referring to here is, yes, spiritual refreshing, but also physical refreshing and emotional refreshing. It addresses the issue of being worn down and worn out, of feeling like there's nothing left in the tank. It means to restore or to give back the enjoyment of life, the joy of life that has been lost to difficult circumstances. And he says, he restores my soul. He brings the light back to my eyes. He brings the joy back into the very depths of my being and refreshes all of me. The good shepherd guides along the right paths, because sheep need to be moved from pasture to pasture. The shepherd has to guide them to where they need to go next, providing guidance to ensure that the sheep are on the right path so they can get to where they need to go. The right path sometimes even leads through the darkest valley, the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, some translations call it when you read this psalm, where life becomes uncertain, where life is threatened and danger exists. And the good shepherd leads not only in the green pastures, but also up the paths that sometimes will lead through the most dangerous and intimidating of valleys. But even in the dark places, David says, he continues to lead. Even though I go through all of that, he's with me. And finally, he says, the good shepherd is always present. When surroundings are changing, when circumstances are changing, the shepherd's presence with his sheep is unchanged. The shepherd's presence lifts fear and brings comfort. The shepherd's presence consoles just by being there. David references the shepherd's tools of the rod and the staff, the rod being a club used to beat off wild animals and protect the sheep from harm. The staff, often with a hook on the end, was used to guide and to even pull sheep from dangerous areas that they would wander into. Guidance and presence go hand in hand. The good shepherd leads, the good shepherd guides by being present. And it's his presence that brings a sense of calm and peace where fear is absent. So that's the first metaphor. The second metaphor is, the Lord is my host. The Lord is my host. When we reach verse 5, we notice that David shifts from the metaphor of the Lord being a shepherd to the Lord being the host of a banquet. And he then goes on to elaborate some specific details of what a good host provides. And so staying within the banquet metaphor, these are the things that he references. He says, the good host prepares a table. Now, if we were going to host a special dinner, we would most likely set and prepare a special table. I mean, I know that's what happens at our house. Whether it's Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving or some special occasion, rarely is there a special occasion that the table is not prepared. Special tablecloth comes out and is put on the table, and the tablecloth is in theme with the occasion. The good china and the silverware make an appearance. And I hate that because you got to wash them all by hand after. But they make an appearance. The nice glassware that you forgot you even had on the table. Often a decorative centerpiece in the middle of the table. In theme with whatever the event is. I don't know if your house is like that. I'm just giving you a picture into mine. Why all the fuss? Why all the fuss? Why would you go through all of that? Why don't you put all that effort into it? Well, I would suggest to you that it's not just because of the occasion, as important as maybe the occasion might be, but it's more about who's going to be seated around the table. That's why all the fuss, that's why all the... I have a hunch if only Jen and I ever spent occasions together, there wouldn't be a special table. I'm thinking not. Maybe it would be. I don't know. Maybe I underestimate you. I don't really know you that well, actually, so it's kind of hard to say. But it's those who are sharing the occasion and meal with you. That's why you go through all that effort, because you're picturing and imagining who's going to be around that table, you know? And so that's what inspires you to do something like that. And David says that the good host, the Lord, sets a table before him. God sets a table before him in his honor, on his behalf. He's the guest of honor. He's valued. He's important. Now, interestingly, David says that the table is set in the presence of his enemies. / in-laws. No, I'm kidding. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that. I just threw that in there. In the presence of his enemies. His enemies are invited to share the table. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. This is a little unusual. In biblical times, people only ate mostly with their family. And if there were other people around the table, maybe it was because people who were a little more well off, well, they would invite people over that they considered to be on the same social level as them. But enemies would never, ever be invited to share hospitality. Like, you just don't do that. But here, God not only prepares a table where David is the guest of honor, but the table he prepares is a table of reconciliation and a table of forgiveness where everyone is invited. No awkwardness. All are welcome. He says, the good host anoints your head with oil. Now, this may sound unusual to us, and if you know me well, you know that I have an aversion to sticky. I just can't do sticky. And don't ever think that you can have fun with that. You will die. Really, you will. And I will plead insanity. This may sound unusual to them. To me, it doesn't sound like something, that'd be really cool if I went over to someone's house and they put oil on my head. But this was a very common practice in Jewish culture. True hospitality and included receiving people into your home and, yes, providing for them, but it also was about showing them special care. And we see things like washing their feet or anointing with oil. And so here's David, David is referencing the oil. The oil mixed with fragrant herbs was often used in daily hygiene. That's why, you know, no one would ever say your hair looks greasy today. That would be a compliment. Part of daily hygiene, and was often poured on the heads of honored guests as a symbol of welcome and respect at formal events. Doing this expressed that the host was honored by your presence and made you feel valued as a guest. And David is saying here that God not only prepared a table of reconciliation and forgiveness for him, but also treated him in such a way that has demonstrated how incredibly valuable he is in the eyes of God. He's not only at the table, but he is an honored, valuable guest at that table. And then finally, he says, the good host provides a bountiful feast. David said, my cup overflows. This is an expression to say that, you know, there's more than enough. It just keeps going. God's feast is a bountiful feast. There's no shortage. There's nothing held back from him. He's stuffed. In Newfoundland culture, you'd say, I'm chinched. He's stuffed. He's full. He's sufficiently sophonsified. You get it. His life is overflowing with the goodness of God's provision. His life is overflowing with the goodness of God's protection. His life is overflowing with God's care and the compassion that God has shown to him. He says, God, I'm just sitting here reflecting on it in my life. Man, you didn't just give me enough. It's just flowing. Flowing in my life. And then we get to verse 6, where David now switches to the future. I'm trying to switch to the future, but it's not working. Michael, help me. Thank you. Whoop, too far into the future. There you go. The Lord is my pursuer. David declared that the Lord was his shepherd and the Lord was his host, but then he concluded the psalm with a confident look to the future, and he said, surely, surely, without question, without debate, without doubt, the goodness and mercy of God, the goodness and love of God will follow me all the days of my life. Now, this is a loaded statement that we just need to take a minute to unpack. When he refers to God's goodness, he means everything that is good. Everything that is good that comes from God. And then he references God's love, God's mercy, which in the original translation is love, a loyal and faithful love. God's loyal and faithful love. And he says, surely goodness, all of the good things that come from God and God's loyal and faithful love that is unfailing and dependable. That's the things that he's highlighting. And David is saying, they're going to follow me. They're going to pursue me. Now, I don't know about you, but when we first started singing that song, comes running after me. How's that go again? The goodness of God, right? Which keeps running after me. And at first I'm thinking, what? Is that like, I don't know, some guy leading worship, creating these songs? But then as I reflected on more, no, that's actually what Psalm 23 means. And it does. So now the next time you sing that, you can engage that. It means to chase after, to seek him out. Normally, it's one's enemy that pursues, that chases, that seeks out. But when the Lord is your shepherd and the Lord is your host, his goodness and his love pursues you. It chases after you. It seeks you out. It's not just casual. David is saying, God's goodness and love is actually pursuing me. It's not me pursuing. He's pursuing me. He's taking steps towards me. He is chasing me. He's seeking me out. Throughout the Psalms, David often references dwelling in the house of the Lord. For him, the house of the Lord is not just a place. It's not just a building. For him, the house of the Lord is the presence of God. The temple was associated with God's presence, and David loved to worship at the temple, but David discovered that he could also experience God's presence outside the temple. David ends Psalm 23 with the declaration and the confidence that says this, since God's love and God's goodness will pursue me throughout my life, he recognizes that he will indeed always dwell in the presence of God. God's presence will be with him forever. Wherever he goes, the presence of God will be there. There are three brief takeaways that I'd like to share. I like to note that there are three non-confrontational applications I'd like to share with you this morning. Nice change, isn't it? First is God's provision. God never promised us extravagance or excess, but he did promise to provide for us. We may not get everything we want, but he does provide what we need. When the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? Like, prayer is such an important part of your life and ministry. Would you, and you know, when you talk to the Father, would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus provided an outline for them of how to pray. And within that outline, we call that the Lord's Prayer, the outline of prayer that Jesus gave to them. And within that outline of prayer, of important things to focus on during prayer, within that is the principle of God's basic provision. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this: give us this day our daily bread. God, please provide for us what we need today. But it's important to understand that God provides more than material things for us. He provides his comfort in times of hardship and pain and sorrow. He provides forgiveness and love when we fail, when we feel like we're no longer deserving of his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. His provision reminds us that we are guests of honor at his table, that we are valuable, that we are important. We are very important to him. We are valuable. God's presence, God's restoration. I'm certain that some, if not all of us, on occasion have felt worn down, felt worn out, felt depleted. And we find ourselves saying things like, I don't know how much more I can take. Or I don't know how much longer I can endure. Because you're feeling empty. There's nothing left in the tank. You're underwater, breathing through a straw. And maybe you're feeling like that today. What this psalm reminds us of is that we all need moments of refreshing from God that will restore our souls, that will restore us spiritually, that will restore us physically, that will restore us emotionally. Times when we step back from all of the pollution, because a lot of us can identify with that, living in a life, with a life filled with pollution and distraction from the circumstances of our lives that hide him from us, that keeps us from seeing him vividly and clearly, and we're unable to see and experience God in that fresh, life-giving way. And when we're spiritually hungry, we can feast at his table. But what I want to suggest to us this morning is that we need to intentionally create these moments. We have to intentionally create these moments where we can push aside all of the distraction. We can push aside all of the pollution. We can stop listening to all of the lies and the stories that we're telling ourselves or perhaps are being told by others. Intentionally creating these moments where we can see God vividly just as he is. Just like David did when he wrote this psalm. That beautiful moment of, like, oh God, I see it. I see you. When he wrote this psalm. God's restoration. And finally, God's guidance. As I said, God's guidance and God's presence go hand in hand. God leads us by being with us. There's a big difference when someone says, okay, here's how you get there. and they start telling you, you go here, you do that, and all you hear, right, is blah, 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 right? You know, my wife says that to me all the time. You're explaining to me how to get there, and all I'm hearing is blah, blah, blah. Right? We gotta do it different than this. There's a big difference when someone says, let me tell you how to get there. Then when someone says, you know what? Let me lead you there. Let me go with you. Follow me. You know? And that's always great. I remember as a young guy, in high school, I used to work on the weekends delivering furniture to smaller communities outside of the town that I grew up in. And my town was small, but these were smaller. And the towns didn't have street names. They just, everybody knew where everybody lived. And you pull up in town and you got a delivery, you have no idea. You pull up and you roll down the window and you say, where does so-and-so live? And they say, oh, okay, up that hill, you see that white house? Yeah, not that one, the green one next to it. Why didn't you just say the green one? I don't know. That's just the way. And so you went up there and you made your delivery. And sometimes they say, oh, okay, that's down around here. You know what? Just follow me. Follow me up the road. I'll take you there. And you're like, oh, okay, this is good. I don't have to try and figure it out where I'm going. Folks, from the time of creation, God desired to be with his people. Being with his people was a non-negotiable value. We see it in the cloud that led his people by day and the fire at night. We see it with the whole Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle, in the temple where the presence of God dwelt. We see it most beautifully in the incarnation of Jesus. God becoming flesh and moving into our neighborhood, dwelling among us, being where we are. The book of Acts and the incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all believers, empowered and led by the Spirit every day. God desires to be with his people. God leads us. God guides us. Even when the path passes through some of the deepest and darkest valley of our lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes when God is driving, I'm like, I think you made the wrong turn. There's a better way. You know, there's a better way. It'll take less time and it'll be less challenging. Even when the path crosses through some of the deepest, darkest valleys of our lives, yes, even in the valley of death, his presence with us. He's there. And he lifts our anxiety. And he takes our fears because we know we're going to be okay because he's right there. And we're okay despite how dark it gets because he's with us. And even when we depart from the path, and we lose sight of his presence, and we lose sight of his leading, he pursues us, and he seeks us out. He comes looking for us and brings us back under his care. That's the shepherd. That's the host that David could see in that moment in history, when inspired by the Spirit, penned those words. And those are moments that we need when we see God so vividly and so clearly, like maybe we haven't in our lifetime or we haven't in a very long time. It's like, oh yeah, God, I see you now. I see you now. I'd like to invite our worship team back. Folks, when all of the pollution and all of the distraction of the circumstances of life is stripped away, we can clearly see and reflect on the beauty of who God is in the lives of his people. And this psalm reminds us today that moments of reflection bring comfort, like it did for David, because we clearly see the goodness and presence of God in our lives. So let's intentionally create those moments. Let's carve out that space. Let's make that a priority in our walk with God. Moments of reflection, moments of meditation. Until the fog begins to lift, until the pollution begins to pass off, and we begin to see the beauty of the Good Shepherd and the beauty of the Good Host who pursues us relentlessly, motivated by goodness and love. Would you stand this morning? The worship team is going to lead us. And why not begin even right now in this moment saying, God, there's so much that I feel is clouding me from really seeing you this morning. Would you pull back that from my eyes so that I could see you the way I need to see you this morning? So I can be reminded of what I need to be reminded of today. Jonna, would you lead us?
Oh, I've heard thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the day I'm lying. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To you I am, to you I am, to you I am.
You are. Yes, you are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect
in all of your ways.
You are
perfect in all of your ways.
In a moment, I'm going to pray for all of us. I just want to say you may be here this morning or watching this morning, and you feel lost. But I want to remind you today, He knows where you are. He knows where you are. He hasn't lost track of you. You might be here and you say, there's just so much going on in my life that I've lost sight of God. I can't see God in my life. I don't experience His presence. I'm not experiencing God like I did. I want to remind you this morning, He's never left you for one moment. He's right there with you. He's right there. Maybe you feel empty. Maybe you feel like the light has gone out of your eyes and the joy has lost. You've lost that joy deep down within. But I want you to know today that He restores that. He can restore that in your life. And I want to pray for you about that this morning. Father, as we stand here in this place, may this place be a moment where Your Holy Spirit does a work in our lives, where He pulls back the curtain, where He clears the fog and the distraction, where He allows us to see vividly and clearly and beautifully the truth about our God. A God who is a good shepherd and a good host, who pursues with goodness and love. And for those who feel lost right now, would You help us look to You and say, can You lead me? I don't even know where I am. I don't even know where I need to go. I don't know what to do. Would You help me? Lord, for those of us who are here and we've lost sight of You, would You open our eyes to see You? We sing about that sometimes, but we pray it this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see You right there. Help us, God. And Lord, would You restore? Some are spiritually tired. Some are physically exhausted. Some are emotionally drained. Would You remind us that even when we're walking through the darkest, darkest valley, valley of the shadow of death, that You are with us. You comfort us. And You restore us. Lord, we need what only You can do for us this morning. Things we can't do for ourselves, things that others can't do for us, things that only You can do. Would you do those things in our lives this morning? Lord, we pray for those in our congregation today who are struggling physically, struggling relationally, struggling with mental health, challenges, families, and all sorts of things. When it seems like they can't hear You, will You remind them that You hear them? And would You act? You comfort and strengthen and help. Lord, we lift these things up before You today, and we thank You for the privilege that we've had, the privilege of standing in a room with people of like faith and to be able to leave and say, surely the presence of the Lord was in that place. We've experienced Your presence, and we leave encouraged, uplifted, and changed. And we thank You for that opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.